In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At the end of the church year, we speak a lot about waiting. As we wait, there are many motifs that enter into the picture, one of them being thanksgiving. We are not silent or uncertain as we wait, but we are confident. We live a life of thanksgiving. Indeed, the whole Christian life is one of giving thanks to God, because we are confident of what was, of what is, and of what is to come. One benefit in studying history among the many is that it reveals the human condition, which has not changed. How wicked, conniving, and selfish man can be if he is left to his own devices. What led them to such atrocity is the same sinful flesh that dwells in us. What led them to commit such horrific acts is the same sinful flesh that we have. They did not have more original sin than what we have. We are all the same sons of Adam, conceived in sin just as they were, born in sin just as they were. The human condition has remained the same throughout history: sinful, wicked, fallen man opposed to the things of God. They may have manifested that fallen flesh in a more obvious way, but it's still our fallen flesh. So thanks be to God that we are not autocrats. Thanks be to God that we did not find ourselves in a similar situation to commit a similar crime. Thanks be to God that he has given to us faith in Jesus Christ, new life and hope, which is ours. We did not show ourselves worthy of Christ. We did not decide to be better than other people. But while we were dead in sin, Christ died for us, and he made us alive with Christ, having forgiven us all our sins. We did not ask him to take on our sin, or to die our death, or to be buried in our grave. We did not ask him even to come down from heaven to live and work among us. It is by grace you are saved. No mind has figured out what God has prepared for those who love him. It is by grace. So our lives of thankfulness really begin at a cross, at Christ's cross. For there we see what we justly all deserve. Those were our sins, not his. That's our cross, not his. That should have been our death, us being forsaken by the Father, our punishment in hell, not his. Yet it's not us, it's him. It is the grace of God that he has come down to bear our sins and die our death so that we might be called sons of the Most High. So whether our day is filled with joy or sorrow, it is that cross that defines us. We can live a life of thanks and praise to God because we are confident of what God has done for us and what he has made us. We are forgiven children of the Father. Nothing in life can change that. Nothing in death can alter that. Jesus lives, and he is free from all suffering and pain and hardship. He is free from his cross. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, a new creation, guaranteeing that we will follow. So as we pause and take account of our year, or perhaps even our entire life, through it all, we must see the hand of a gracious Savior that stretched out to bleed in our place. We are unworthy of all the mercies that he has shown us. As we look in the past and remember thanksgivings that have come and gone, people who once were with us but are no more, people who now gather with us that once did not, as our relationships have changed and evolved, our God has remained the same. He is the maker of heaven and earth, who sent his only begotten Son to be our Lord and Redeemer. Whether gathering around a turkey and all the fixings or simply a turkey sandwich, whether with many or few, we see past the material to the Lord who has given. We are sons of God, confident of what he has accomplished by his cross in the past. So whether we are alone or surrounded, we bless and praise the name of the Lord. We give thanks because he still has a purpose for us here on this earth. He left us here and desires us to be a blessing to those around us. He could have given the wife and the house and the memories to someone else, but instead he gave them to you. He made you holy, and he desires that you would live a holy life in thankfulness. Whether young or old, let us be thankful. Whether well off or still struggling along, let us be thankful. Let the first words out of your mouth each morning be, "I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son," regardless if that day involves a hospital stay or a wedding. Let us give thanks to the Lord even at the end of that day, for his mercies are new every morning. It changes your outlook on the entire day. No longer do you see spiritual things and physical things, but you see the one God who has blessed you with eternal things and also earthly things. You see past the food and the family and the gatherings to the one who loves you above all things. Thus, your entire day, a life of thanksgiving, is an offering, a pleasing sacrifice given to God. He could have used someone else to raise those kids, to pay those bills, or to work that job, but he chose you, and he desires that you would carry it out faithfully. So he doesn't want you in heaven quite yet. He wants you still here on this earth, because he has great things planned for you. You may think that chores are not great, but God does. You may think that your 9-to-5 is not all that great, but God sees it as great. You may think that someone else can do the menial task, but God says, "Here are the good and holy works I have prepared before you from even before the creation of the world." Thank him for all of it. As you take account of the present life and your situation, thank God for what he has given you today. When you hear of a man and a woman getting engaged, respond, "Thanks be to God." When you hear of a woman who is pregnant, respond, "Thanks be to God." Even when the doctor tells you bad news, respond, "Thanks be to God," and say it out loud verbally so all can hear you. For the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised, which is nothing more than to say, "Thanks be to God." Why should we receive such kindness from the Lord in the form of a chastisement? Does he not discipline those he loves? So why should we be so favored as to have our faith purified through some fiery trial? Why should he spend so much time crafting our cross to deepen our faith so we let go of this world and desire eternal dwellings? Why are we so loved? Why would he bestow such great blessings on us? We are not worthy of it. When the Sanhedrin beat the apostles for preaching the name of Christ, they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. No doubt it hurt. No doubt our crosses hurt. But in the midst of the tears, we are confident of what his cross has accomplished, so we can say with all confidence, "Thanks be to God. His mercies are new every morning." Though the body is in pain and the cheeks are wet with tears, heaven is still ours. Eternal dwellings are still ours. We have a Father, we have a Savior, and the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So thank you. Season every prayer with thankfulness. He promises to hear you. Faith will then shine through and you will recognize that you deserve none of these gifts from God, whether good or struggles. You deserve none of them from God, but he has freely blessed you with it all. Yes, you still ask that the cross may be removed, that the hardship would come to an end, or as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. But you recognize he will always do what is best for you, which at times mean he may ask you to pick up your cross and follow Christ. All of this comes to a head at the altar. There is no greater gift than this supper. The words of institution are this: on the night our Lord was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks. That word, give thanks, is the word Eucharist. It means thanksgiving. This is the great thanksgiving meal that God has prepared for you, to feast on his own body and blood, so you may be confident of what was and that it is now yours. He doesn't stuff you, but he does fill you. He doesn't bloat you, but he does forgive you. He doesn't burden you, but he strengthens you. It's easy to take this great Thanksgiving meal for granted, even as it is easy for children to take for granted the hard work of their mother on Thanksgiving. But look at what it cost him to prepare such a feast for you. A life of perfection. 6 hours of enduring the eternal punishments of hell suspended from a tree, so that you might take and eat for the forgiveness of your sins. It is easy to take it for granted. We can always come on Sunday. We can always receive it next week. We should really learn our history better and see how the church has struggled at times to meet together because of persecutions or diseases or other things that have afflicted her. And we need not even look that far back, for we should remember 2020 and how quickly services were suspended, maybe even for just a few weeks. And we could not receive the great Thanksgiving feast of God. We do well to remember history so we can give thanks to the Lord for what he has provided today. We do not know what tomorrow holds. So here at the altar, we deal with joys and sorrows. Here our prayers and our praise are seasoned with thanksgiving. Here we receive the goodness of the Lord. Here we give thanks to him by eating and drinking. Here he opens our eyes to see his love, his hand, behind every gift that we have in the world. He gives and he takes away, so that we might be led back to his altar to feast on eternal things. So our lives of thankfulness begin at a cross, they flow through an altar, and they go to eternity. But thanksgiving doesn't end in heaven. It continues forever. Thus, we are confident of the future because we know what Christ has done. Do not be anxious about anything, writes St. Paul, for Jesus lives, and he has made all things new by his cross and resurrection. Do not be anxious, for heaven is opened and this world is passing away. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. You give thanks to the Lord today, for his mercies are new. Life may be hard or chaotic. Life may be uncertain. Where you are today is not where you were last year. Things have changed for the better or maybe for the worse. And yet here is the Thanksgiving feast. The same Lord, the same sacrifice, the same meal placed on your tongue so that his body and his blood might forgive you all your sins and strengthen you for yet another year. So let us be thankful. We are thankful because we are confident of what is in the past, of what our Lord is doing in the present, and of where we are going in the future. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.